We say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, we thank you that we can rely on you and count on you each and every day. Lord, from the moment we're born to the moment we die, Lord, that we can keep our eyes fixed and focused on you and you will be with us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have together to look into your word. And Lord, we pray that we wouldn't just hear your word, but we would look to put these words into practice, Lord. And we just give this time over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I hope you're doing well. Nobody got washed away by the floods or a tremendous amount of wind that was supposed to come by. We're all good. Good to hear. Good to see some familiar faces. Good to be back in this sanctuary here. A lot has happened since the last I spoke to you, which was just a little over a month ago. I had some major shoulder surgery. That's why my hand is right here. I cannot pick my arm up over this high. But I see the hand in the back. Yeah, okay. But I'm glad to be back. If I had to speak in July to you guys, I couldn't. July was just like a blur. It was almost somewhere in Dante's Inferno, kind of recovering from pain and stuff. But I'm glad to be back with you guys today. I originally titled, sermon, something else, but we switched it to Who's the Waiter? Who's the Waiter? And I'm going to read first from Joshua chapter 5, and I want to make sure we have this going. Oh, good. Okay, good. Joshua chapter 5, and I'm going to spend some time talking about who is the waiter in our life. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 says this, "And now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I now have come.' Then Joshua fell to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does the Lord have for his servant?'" For his servant. Who's the waiter? Who is the waiter? I know some of you guys doing food service and stuff like that. We all have had different experiences with waiters. One of the shows I like to watch is, what is it called? It's called Gordon Ramsay. What is it? Not that one, where he goes into restaurants and fixes them. Kitchen Nightmares. Thank you. Kitchen Nightmares. I love that show because, you know, we don't have cable or anything, so we get like all the reruns, the channels and stuff, so I can watch like Kitchen Nightmares over and over again. Right next to Bar Rescue. I don't drink, but Bar Rescue is kind of cool. They're like back to back on the show. But anyway, Kitchen Nightmares, because Gordon Ramsay comes in, he knows these restaurants are a disaster, and he sits down and he orders food. And he says, "I'll have this, what's good? I'll have this, 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 that." And he goes on to tell them everything that's wrong. You know, "Is this fresh?" "Yes, it's fresh." "And it comes out, it's frozen," and all this kind of nonsense. And he just kind of lays into these people in the restaurant owners and telling them all the things they're doing and stuff like that. And I like to go out to eat. How many of you guys like to eat out? Like to eat out? Abe's like, "I don't know, you know, just okay." You know, it's kind of like you like to eat out, right? Go someplace else where somebody comes to you with the menu and lays it down before you. I do have to give you one. I should always stick with my notes because sometimes I wander. But as I'm talking to you, I remember not too long ago, it was on a Sunday, and I went down to Key Largo to try to get brunch, right? So my wife was a little late getting out the door and stuff, and I'm like, "Come on, we got to get to brunch. Brunch stops at 12:30, So we get there at this restaurant, and it's like 12:10. We'll be good for brunch. But no, we had to wait to get a table and everything like that. So we sit down at like 12:25. The waitress doesn't come to us till like 12:31. And I'm like, "Hey, can I still order brunch?" And she's like, "No, it's after 12:30. I'm like, no, not like, "I'll see what I can do. Let's see if we can make this happen," and stuff like that. And then later on in our meal, I ordered some coffee with some pie. And so the coffee comes and it's cold. And I'm like, "Hey, the coffee's cold." She's like, "Oh, okay, I'll take it off the bill." I'm like, "No, I just wanted coffee, hot coffee. I don't want you to take off the bill. I wanted coffee. But it was just this kind of experience I'm having with the waiter, waitress going back and forth. And see, when you go to a restaurant, it's mainly the waiter is there to do what? Wait on you to serve you what you would like. It'd be kind of odd if you sat down at a restaurant and you said, I'll take the fish, and the waiter brought you chicken. You'd be like, this isn't what I wanted. I wanted fish. And the waiter said, no, I'm going to give you what I think you want instead. So there's all different kinds of waiter patron relationship and stuff like that that we can have going on in our lives. And really, it comes down to really who is the servant. If we look at this other at the passage back in Joshua, at the end of that it says, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Joshua understood that he was the servant. Now, how many of you guys like Chick-fil-A? All right? Everybody likes Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, it's amazing. You go into a mall, and in the food court, there's 100 different restaurants. And where's the line? Chick-fil-A. It's like out the door, right? And one of the things I like about Chick-fil-A is the whole idea of my pleasure compared to no problem, right? Now, I'm old, you know, just get it. I'm an old thinking. So when I get to a restaurant and, like, I say thank you, and the waiter or the person taking my order says no problem, that kind of tells me, like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I could have possibly been an inconvenience to your day. You know, I'm glad it's not a problem for you to get me what I want. But so it's just that mindset. When you go into Chick-fil-A, they go like, you know, my pleasure. And sometimes we go in Chick-fil-A with some people up north and stuff for like a meeting or stuff. We'll have a meeting, and I'll just kind of be joking around. And I'll, like, sometimes at the counter, they won't say my pleasure. They'll be like, no problem, or something like that. And I'll go to my friend, I don't know, on a slippery slide. Pretty soon they'll be closing. No more my pleasure. I got a no problem out of this person. Maybe I need to send a letter to the management, something like that. Get this place back up to speed. So we get used to having that whole idea of going into a place and somebody saying, hey, my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve you. This is my pleasure. And we see that with Joshua. He says, once he finds out, it's kind of interesting that Joshua starts out in verse 13, and he says, are you for us or for our enemies? He's basically saying, whose side are you on? Are you going to serve us, or are you going to serve our enemies? And Joshua's kind of almost putting himself at the center. I am in charge. Are you going to be for us or against us? And what does the servant of the Lord say? Neither. Neither. I'm not for you or for them. I'm for God. And Joshua falls down and says, what message does my Lord have for his servant? His servant. See, because Joshua understood that he was the servant of the Lord and not the other way around. So, who's the waiter? We're going to spend some time talking today about who is the waiter in our life. Who is the waiter in our life? Now, a narcissist. Here's the definition of a narcissist. Now, if you have one or two of these characteristics, I'm not saying you're a narcissist. Don't walk out of here, go home and say, Pastor Bob said I'm a narcissist. I'm not. But there may be some clues that you could be, okay, in this, all right? So this is what a narcissist is. This is one of several types of personality disorders. It is a mental condition in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy toward others. Do you know of anybody who's a narcissist, according to that definition? Right? We probably go like, I know a guy. Now, they're probably saying that about you, right? They're probably going, I know a guy. Pastor Bob, he's a narcissist. You know, we can all kind of pick up on that, but I think it's just how we've been raised to date and how we continue to raise people. You know, back in the day, I'm dating myself a little bit here. Back in the day, if you were on a team and you didn't play like when you should have thought you played, whether on a softball team or soccer team, and maybe you were sitting the bench and sitting there, and you know, you were kind of getting maybe upset and kind of going, I should be in the game. Your parent would typically go, suck it up, Bob. Don't worry. You'll get in the game. listen to coach, do what coach tells you, and you'll play, just keep working hard, you know, it's a long season, that kind of talk. Now, if the kid doesn't get in the game, what do the parents usually do? Yo, coach, how come my kid isn't getting in the game? What's going on here? And they kind of watch over the children. And we almost raise our kids to be narcissists. You know, I think the longer I see the educational system, I realize that many times the parents aren't really in charge of the family. It's the kids who are in charge of the family. So we kind of raise ourselves up to be this narcissistic attitude in it. You can be in control. Everything is about you. We turn on the TV. You can have a great car. You can have a great house. You can have a great spouse. You can have all these things. And that's just the way it should be. That's how it is with our lives. We see these things every day. But it really flies, the Bible really flies counter to everything that we've been taught about how we deserve it all and how we're the center of everything. You know, what does the Bible say? The Bible talks about being a servant. Again, going back real quick to Joshua, now what do we know about Joshua? He was a mighty man of God. He spent 20 years in Egypt. He spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And then he spent another 50 years in the promised land. And he was a mighty man of God. He was the guy, along with Caleb, when God said, go in and possess the land, he said that we can take these giants. We can do it. He was one of those guys. Mighty man of God, yet he considered himself to be a servant of God, a servant of the Most High God. So we go back over here, some characteristics of servants compared to narcissists, okay? Servant, one who carries out the will of another, right? When you go into a restaurant, isn't that what you want? You want the waiter to serve you, to be your server, to bring stuff to you that you wanted. You know, if you wanted that steak medium rare, you should get a steak medium rare, not a steak that's like shoe leather, right? Okay, so the one who carries out the will of the other. You place your order, you take your menu, you go, I would like this. See what you can do, okay? So that's one. Another, number two, one who sets aside all right of his or her own to serve another, all right? Another word for servant, we don't like to use this word because of the negative connotations that it has today, but the word slave. In the Bible, when you see servant, most times the translation comes from the word slave. We're going to look at a verse, I think, in just a minute that deals with that. But being a slave is like you do what your owner tells you to do. And then understand that being a servant of God is not defined by what I do, but about who I am. It is not about the productivity of hands, but about the posture of your heart. Of your heart. What is your heart attitude? All right? And I think sometimes we as believers, we tend to trust God, right? We like to trust God, right, with things. But I think sometimes it's like this. Rather than God sitting down at the table and saying to us as us serving him, we're the ones sitting at the table, and we go, God, come over here. I have my menu here. And listen, I would like the new job position that's coming open in our company. I'd like a raise. I'd like get things to be straightened out here and there in my life. The kids, you know, they need to get into a certain school, and you need to get me that this, that, and the other thing. And we go, now I'm going to trust you with this, God. I'm going to trust you. I've given you my order. Don't mess it up. Right? And we may not say that to God, but you know how many times I've heard people say, you know, I really, really wanted this to happen, and I trusted God. I said, God, I'm going to trust you with the results. And it didn't work out. And they kind of go like, but I trusted God. I gave them, I sat at the table, and I handed them, I said, this is what I want. It's right here. How could you mess it up so bad? I turned in my order. How could you do that? And we've kind of flipped it around. And really what it is we should, before before God's table and go, God, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. What would you like me to do? And that needs to be our attitude of our heart. The posture of our heart shouldn't be, God, don't mess up my order. It should be, God, how can I serve you? I am a slave to you. Now, we see some of the best examples of servanthood in Scripture. We can go throughout. If you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see example after example after example of Abraham and Jacob and Joshua and Noah, all the way through Scriptures, of people who were servants of the Most High God. But probably the best example of that is a guy named Jesus. You ever heard of Jesus? Okay? Okay, good. Christian church, heard of Jesus. Okay, this is what it says in Philippians 2. We're going to read some a little bit down in this passage. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, the same one spirit, and one mind. This is the important part. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out for your own interest, but also the interest of others. Okay, now, this is where Jesus comes in. It says, you must have the same mind as Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, took upon the humble position as a slave. As a slave, as that servant. Here is God coming down, stepping down, and taking on man's form, and basically became that servant, that slave. And then it goes on, and he was born a human being, and when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him a name above all other names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here is God. Jesus Christ came to be a servant. Throughout Scripture, in the Gospels, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve. That attitude of that Jesus came to serve, and he is our greatest example of how we should serve and what we should do. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, this is what Paul says to Timothy, and he also says to us. Now, I'm going to pick it up, let's see, in verse 24. It says this, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must he gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and that they would come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Now, again, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, the Lord's servant. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be God's servants. As believers in Christ, the Bible says we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. And because we've been bought with a price, our call is to be a servant, be a slave to the Most High God. That's what God's called us to do. Now, in Joshua's life, even at the end of his life, again, he's like 100 years old. He's sitting down. They've conquered the promised land. They've gone in. They've resettled. And Joshua's giving a pep talk to his people right before he dies. And he says, and he's basically challenging all that people. He's saying, like, yeah, if you want to serve the gods of the Amorites and all this stuff, he says, you're probably better off serving them because I don't think you can serve God. And the people are going like, no, we'll serve God. He's like, no, I don't think you can do it. And he basically talks about, you know, he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Somebody like Joshua, somebody like Jesus, they didn't go, how can I be served? They go, how can I serve? How can I serve? You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I was having lunch with them Wednesday, a couple guys. And we got into the conversation about, does God want you to have nice things? And it kind of centered on that. This guy had a particular point. Well, God wants us to have nice things, right? There's nothing in the Bible that doesn't say God doesn't want us to have nice things. Why wouldn't he want us to have nice things? And it's almost like that whole idea of sitting down and going, God, I'd like nice things. Work on it, you know? And I guess that's kind of, I guess that's not really okay. I mean, but the whole idea is it's not about what you do. It's about your heart attitude, your heart attitude. Did you become a Christian to kind of get nice things from God? I know people, if I talk to, they would say something like that. They would go, oh yeah, I prayed to receive Jesus because if I did, I knew God would be doing some nice things for me. That he would take care of this and he would take care of that. When somebody got sick, that they would get healed. And when this happened, the other thing, this would happen and everything would work out well. Da, 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 da. Well, if that's the case, we've missed the point of the gospel. We've missed the point of what the Bible says about how we need to be servants. How we need to be ultimately slaves to God. And we need to be asking God every morning, God, I'm reporting to you as your servant. I'm yours. What do you want me to do today? God, how do you want me to handle these situations? But every day going to God as he is the person who's giving the order and not us giving the order. And then again, that flies totally in the face of what everyone, especially in America, will tell you about life if they're not saved. Say it's all about you. It's all about this, that, and the other thing, and everything you can give. So the question I want to pose to you back over here is, who's the waiter? Who's the waiter? Who's the waiter in your life? What perspective do you have between the relationship between you and God? Remember Moses at the burning bush? Moses at the burning bush, way before this, 45 years before this time in Joshua, God spoke to him in a burning bush. And what was Moses' original response? I ain't going to do that. Nope. I don't want to do that. You want me to go do what? Nope. No way. No way. I'm comfortable here. I'm pretty content doing this thing with sheep. You know? I mean, heck, I did this for 40 years. I chased out of there. I'm doing this. I'm tending sheep, and I'm pretty content. But you know, God had a higher calling for Moses. It wasn't just about being content with life. God said, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I have a plan. And sometimes we'll be before God and we'll go, okay, God, what is your plan for my life? We'd all like to know that, right? But we're missing it a little bit when we just ask God, what is your plan for my life? Again, we're coming into that self-centered thing if we're not careful. And God basically tells Moses, he says, Moses, this is my big plan. I see the people who have been enslaved and I want to set them free. And he says, and I'm going to use you to do it. And he's like, no, 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 because I'm, no. That's not on the menu, God. God, that's not, no. Doing that, no. I want the content sheep thing. You know, give me that in the order. But God changed him. God changed him and used Moses to do some great and mighty things because Moses submitted himself to God's will. And I think that's what God wants from us. God wants us to be submitted to his will. Remember Jesus on the cross, or in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with God? God, if you can do anything to take what's going to happen to me away, please do it. Right? He's like, take this cup from me. Take this cup. If we don't have to do this crucifixion thing, take it from me. But he said, no, not my will, but your will be done. That servanthood position, that slave position, that Jesus came, as we read in Philippians, that Jesus came and said, came and humbled himself and became obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross. That servant, that slave. As a follower of Jesus, that's what God wants us to be. A follower of Jesus. Christians, that whole idea of little Christs, that perspective that we are here not to be served, but to serve. Yes, to serve others, to do that kind of thing, but ultimately to serve the Lord God. What higher calling could there be but to serve the Lord God? So the question again is, who is your waiter? Who's the waiter in your life? Are you the waiter taking orders from God? Or for years have you kind of been giving the orders to God? And when God lets you down, you go, yeah, let's go to another restaurant. The waiter keeps messing up my order here. Let's go someplace else. You know, I can see that, and we all kind of mature into that. As a believer, we kind of more and more understand that position. But I can understand that from, say, maybe a lost person. I know a girl by the name of Brandy. She is involved with our campus ministry, and she's not a Christian yet. She's heard the gospel shared by me probably about 100 times to other people. She just hangs around, and she's heard it. But, you know, Brandy, she's probably about 20 years old now. When she was 15... her father got cancer. Her mother had disowned her. She just lived with her dad. And her father got cancer, lung cancer. Of course, he smoked like a chimney and got cancer. And she cried out to God. You know the prayer, right? God, if you're there, if you're real, heal my father. And her father passes away. And what does she do? God, there's the menu. Why didn't you answer? I'm going to a different restaurant. That's what the world does, because they kind of get the perspective that God is this genie in the bottle that comes out and answers our wishes. But as we are Christians, believers in Christ, God wants us, even though it's not necessarily easy, to be the ones that say, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, this path that you have for me may not be what I want, but if it's your will, I'm going to walk through this path. And that's I don't want to make it sound like God wants his will for us, but that's what brings real joy in life. You know, real joy that lasts is doing God's will and being in God's will. So I want to challenge us today. I want to challenge myself today and say, who is the waiter in my life? Have I been giving God orders and telling him what I'd like to have him work out for me? God, do this, God, do this, God, do the other thing. And then base my life about how the meal's coming out? Or am I willing to be the one that says, God, I'm at your service. God, I'm at your service. I'm gonna just brag on my daughter Molly just for a second. My daughter Molly, I think most of you have met her one place or another, probably when she was a little tight. She just completed her master's degree in public health practice. She has a nice job, pediatric ICU charge nurse in Orlando. And ever since she was a little girl, God's put on her heart to go overseas somewhere and serve people who were less fortunate. And out of high school, she even wanted to just go to India or Africa and just serve water. She was all set to do it. And we're like, Molly, maybe you want to get some skill to help out a little more. So, okay, I'll become a nurse and the second thing. But she's kept with that vision. And she's now been accepted with this group called Mercy Ships. I don't know if you ever heard of Mercy Ships. But they've got a brand new ship coming out of Antwerp, Belgium? Is that in Belgium, I guess? So she's going to hook up with that and then go to Africa, of all crazy places. Like, going like, no, I'm Christian, you know, but, you know, in the natural sense, you're like, you sure you want to go to Africa, Molly? You know, it's not always safe over there. And you're on a big ship. What if they get in a storm? But, you know, you just have to go, God's will. And, you know, that in Molly's life, that's what's going to bring joy, because she knows she's doing what God wants her to do. And I want to encourage you as parents, too, right before we close, if your child is feels like God is calling them to do something, do not hold them back. You know, don't be the one who goes, I don't know, are you going to be able to make it financially? I know you think God wants you to do this. Do you really think that's a smart idea? How's your retirement plan going to look like after you're done? You don't want to discourage your child from doing what God wants you to do. And you don't want to, you want to just let them do what God wants you to do, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And I want to encourage each one of us here today, put God first. Be a waiter to God. As the Bible says, what does it say in, we'll finish with this passage. In Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That doesn't mean you'll get all these stuff. It just means God's going to take care of you. God knows your needs. He's going to take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Come to God at the table and say, God, I'm seeking you first. I'm seeking your kingdom. And there you're going to take care of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can look into your word. Lord, I thank you for so many examples like Abraham and Joshua and Noah and Moses, people who probably could have been way more comfortable staying where they were. Abraham could have stayed in the land of Ur. Moses could have stayed tending sheep. Jesus could have stayed being you in heaven. Lord, we thank you. Paul could have stayed doing what he was doing, and all these people could have just stayed doing what they were doing. Lord, but they came before you and said, not my will, but your will be done. And Lord, we pray that that would be the case with us. Lord, that truly we would say, not my will, but yours. Lord, that we would stay right at your table, just like Joshua, and say, what do you have for your servant? What do you have for your slave? Lord, that we would take up that mantle seriously, that as believers in Jesus Christ, we're called for that same high calling to be servants to you in whatever you call us to do. Lord, whether it's in the sciences, the business world, whether it's being a janitor, whether it's literally waiting on tables, whatever it is, Lord, that ultimately we would be all about coming before you and saying, God, what is your will? How can I serve you? In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to encourage you, before we play real quick, and finish with a song here.